wake on up.
Wake up, wake up, wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe
Stradone. Timed out, bro.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
No! It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
In the third, looking for more. He smashes that one to right field. Oh, my goodness. Headed for the second deck. A three-run. Classic Devers home run. And it's 4-1 Giants.
It's from a blowout.
Oh, Dave Fleming on the call. NBC Sports Bay Area. 12-4 the final as the Giants stop the bleeding with a series win in the Big Apple. Devers goes long ball. Jung-Hoo Lee, first four-hit game in Major League Baseball career, Jung-Hoo Lee. First four-hit game there as the Giants get it done. They're back at 500, and I am back, baby. Joe Spadoni with you alongside Joe Shasky. Vibes are good, but also not great right now. We're not going to get into what Joe Shasky saw in the bathroom
just
20 minutes ago, but I'll get into this. This is a massive week for the San Francisco Giants, Joe. You just came off a series win in New York. As I say, good morning to you, Carter, Risotto, all you lovely people just getting off work. I missed a lot that took place last week, and I'm going to need to play catch up with you just to get where your emotions and mentals are at heading into this week. Because on one hand, that was awesome. You needed that. Carson Wisenhunt gets his first win of his career. He already tied Justin Verlander on the season with wins, by the way, which is hilarious. But he goes 5 1/3 after coming off a rough and raucous kind of an outing that you were at last week at Oracle Park. You get Devers. Looks like he's breaking out of that funk back in 233 now. He's looking good. Jung-Hoo Lee, everyone kind of contributed yesterday in that win outside of maybe Willy Adames. But the bats are getting hot, and maybe, just maybe, you know, all the dust settling on the Giants being quote-unquote sellers has kind of relieved these hitters. But now you got to do it against the teams you're supposed to do it against. Got the Pirates coming up, and got the Nationals at home. So it's going to be a massive, massive week for the mentals there. But boy, did they need that over the weekend. As I say, good morning to you. And I missed you, buddy.
Yeah,
how you doing?
Up? I'm good. You know, I think it was Jung-Hoo Lee's best series of his career. He went 7-12, had three different doubles, a walk. And to me, yesterday, the biggest development was like the stolen base. Finally used his legs. You know, some guys in certain sports, their speed plays, mm-hmm. and some guys in certain sports, their speed doesn't play for whatever reason. Think about a wide receiver that doesn't have great hands. You know, Ted Ginn Jr., just a blazer. He would always be behind your defense. He just dropped the ball. And then there are a lot of guys in baseball that might be fast from point A to point B, but they take poor angles, they get bad jumps, they don't understand secondary leads. I just haven't seen enough from Jung-Hoo Lee until yesterday of him like causing havoc on the base pass. And early in the game, he steals second. The ball squirts away from, I believe it was Lindor. And then he goes and takes third. And then Bailey knocks him in. And then you get an out. And then Ramos walk. So now you got two runners on. And boom, Devers, big three-run home run. Right then and there. And it just felt like the game just took off from that moment. And I think it all started with Jung-Hoo Lee's speed.
And you just look at his last couple series, whether it was against the Mets this past week, and he had seven hits against the Pirates. Not his greatest series, but against the Mets prior to that, he had five hits in that series as well. So he's getting it going a little bit. And again, the pressure just feels off right now with the offense. And I think you alluded to it before the show started, Joe. It's like some of these guys didn't even know if they were going to be with the team. And there is an aspect of that where it's like, am I going to be like Yaz? Am I going to be like Doval? And I do want to get your thoughts on that because, as I mentioned, I was out all last week. It's good to be back. And you guys know the number. It's 888-957-9570. Same number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. And again, shout out to all of you watching on YouTube. Yep, I trimmed the mustache yesterday. It is real, just like the nose, and spectacular. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. And as always, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. So real quick, just peeling the curtain back, and I want to get into this and get the week, and we're going to get into the 49ers because there's a lot there with football, the Hall of Fame game last week. I'm sure you guys got into Trey Lance. The Trey Lance takes were, by the way, all over the place on Friday. He's already a backup for most teams. Oh, I think he should be starters. Like, all right, let's You know NFL's back when we got Hall of Fame game takes after one game that means nothing, absolutely nothing. So we'll get into that as well at some point. And we got joint practices starting this week. Broncos in town. That's going to start Thursday. So the road to Levi's officially starting this week because we got our first preseason game on Saturday as well. So can't wait for that. Are you going to be there, by the way, in these preseason games?
I just gave my tickets up to Ryan Levine, and him and his dad are going to go.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah. That'll be fun. Those are nice, like, low-stakes games where you can just enjoy, relax. Yeah.
We're going up to the cabin this weekend.
Oh, okay. Again? You got to maximize those days coming up here,
I got
right?
my goddaughter and Rocco and his family coming up this weekend.
So, when the Giants started selling off last week, quote-unquote selling off, because a lot of the names that ended up getting moved were names that we felt like were going to get moved anyways, right? Duvall, Rodgers of the world, and, like, the Yastrzemskis, all right? I think... For the most part, was that any of that shocking to you?
No, I think we take a step back, like this whole like sell it off. Like, they didn't sell anything. They got rid of guys that probably aren't going to be on the team next year. Now, Duvall is, you know, someone who's obviously your closer, but think about where you viewed him a year ago heading into the offseason. He wasn't a guy that you were, you know, hell bent on keeping as your closer. I think most Giants fans were ready to throw him off the bridge.
I mean,
you know, and so look, I didn't view it as this big major sell. Now, Wilmer Flores did get hurt on Friday, and that was a guy that you should have moved off. And I think for a variety of reasons, especially now with Bryce Eldridge getting hot in AAA, neither here nor there. But like, I still think this team can make a little run here. I'm not saying they're going to be a playoff team. They have a long way to go. They have many teams they have to jump. You got to win this week. But this thing like, oh, season's over. No. Like, there's so much to play for. Individually, there's so much to play for. And I'm not ready to wave the ultimate white flag when it comes to the season. Now, on certain players, I was ready to wave the white flag. But I don't think the season's over by any stretch.
Well, you said something right there that I think is interesting. Like, there's a lot to play for still. I feel like a lot of Giants fans right now, they're just like, hey, get me to 49ers season. Like, let's just start this thing right now because the writing's on the wall. Buster Posey didn't buy at the deadline. This team was just under 500 a minute. They're teetering right now on the brink of disaster. Like, let's just move on. And you're saying, no, let's take a step back. Let's take a deep breath. There's still a lot to play for. 2 months to go in the season. I look at the wild card standings right now. You're 6 games back from a third wild card spot. You got the Padres, Mets, the team you just faced right now, and the Cubs right there. And they're all playing pretty well. The Padres 7-3 in their last 10. They look spectacular. Plus, they added Mason Miller. Are you kidding me? That's going to be something to watch. And they already had a stacked bullpen to begin with. All right. So, what are the Giants playing for these last 2 months? And I'm going to put the wild card withstanding. If they can make that, great. If not, what? What are they playing for, Joe?
What do you mean, what are they playing?
Yeah, what are they playing for?
Okay, so Willy Adames is trying to, you know, salvage his entire season, not just have a great month, which he did in July. I think Rafael Devers is trying to get himself right. You know, like, as you see now, his road splits and his home splits are pretty dramatic. So he's going to try to get himself, you know, proper. I don't think he's lived even close to what his potential is as a Giant. You know, I look at someone like Matt Chapman. Matt Chapman missing a month of the season did this team in for this year. I think he has a lot to play for. Mm. Casey Schmidt playing for his Major League Baseball starting career right now. Second base is up in the air. I think Dom Smith and whoever else is at first base, obviously trying to prove that they belong. Center field, Jung-Hoo Lee, this weekend that he had over the weekend, that's what we need to see. I think the majority of people are kind of iffy on Jung-Hoo Lee, even though he's got $88 million left on his contract. Left field, Elliot Ramos, okay, you were an all-star. Guess what? You know what the really good players do? They do it year in, year out. All right, then I look at right field. Right field's up for grabs, whether it's Grant McCray, whether it's Luis Matos, whether it's eventual call-up for Luciano or whoever might play there the remainder of the year. Those are opportunities. Pat Bailey, I think he's fighting for his Major League Baseball starting catching job right now. Bob Melvin, I think he's fighting for his manager job right now. And then look at their starting rotation. Carson Wisenhunt, are you a big leaguer? You know, I'm not going to fall into the same, you know, trap that I did last year with Ryan Walker and Hayden Birdsong kind of tantalizing us in the final couple months, but I would sure feel a hell of a lot better heading into the offseason if I knew that Carson Wisenhunt, you know, racked up his inning totals closer to 150 innings as opposed to like 115, which is the majority of guys in the minors. And I think the same goes for Landon Roop. Finish on a high note. Robbie Ray, finish on a high note. You want that extension? You know, you're heading into the final year of your contract next year. There's a lot to play for. Those are the individual storylines. And then I haven't even referenced the Wade Mecklers or the Bryce Eldridges and all the different guys that you have in the minor leagues that are knocking on the door. The kids that you just traded for from the Mets. Like, those are up in the air. What about Randy Rodriguez? You want the closer's job? Well, better not be as shaky as it was Friday night. You know? All of these things are at play. I think so much is at play.
That being said, and you know the number, 888-957-9570. I don't know if I'm a Giants fan. I get it. There's levels to this. There's casual natures to this, and that's fine. I don't know if those storylines that you're mentioning right now is going to be enough for me to be captivated these next 2 months. I want playoffs.
Well, captivated and, is a separate term.
But that's why I'm asking it, because there is a lot right now to be made about them being 500. You got 2 months to go. They're not technically out of it, but when Buster Posey is basically telling me, the fan, that he doesn't believe enough in this team to buy into it, then why should I buy into the rest of the season?
They did buy in. They bought Devers. They put an extra month on it.
At the deadline, I'm saying. It felt like they just sold. They did. They didn't buy anything.
What did they get rid of that you were like, oh, gotta go to the park and go see Camilo
They made a strength a week. It might have been a weakness now.
Their bullpen is not as good. There's no question. Yeah. Like that I acknowledge. But like, again, 1 year ago, did you think Camilo Duvall was some prize piece?
Well, the start of the season, I thought it might have, and then he got his confidence totally taken away from him. So, no. A year ago this time, no.
Rogers was set to be a free agent. So, you know, Tyler Rogers is the guy you're going to miss the most in this whole equation. Sure. Mike Yastrzemski, good Giant, had a heck of a run. It was time. So, like, I think we're a little overdramatic on the selling off, and you didn't buy. This team didn't earn the opportunity to trade future prospects for the now. They didn't. They fell a little flat. Now, Detroit Tigers last year sold off Flaherty. And in reality, that sounds like an incredibly stupid sentence. Sold off Flaherty. Anyone could have Flaherty. Flaherty stinks. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they still went on a little playoff push. So who's to say the Giants couldn't do it?
Well, by the way, did you see the old veteran, the guy that was struggling mightily and now is balling for the Detroit Tigers? Charlie Morton? You kidding me? 41 years old? This guy just finds a way every single time. Doesn't matter. Finds a way. He's 41, Joe.
Yeah.
He could do it.
I just think that there's so much to play for. No one is saying that this is like you're never going to, if playoff baseball's up here, right? You know, fighting for your individual career is going to be obviously multiple ticks below that. No one is saying that has the same kind of energy. But to say that there's nothing to play for and that the fans are tuned out, I just disagree. I think people are, like, they want to see what the hell's going on with Rafi Devers. Is he more the guy that I saw yesterday take a giant swing and put one as far as Barry Bonds did at Citi Field? Or is he the guy that's, like, late on fastballs and puts together sloppy at-bats? Like, that's what we want to know. Is Adamas the guy who looked more like an absolute all-star in July? Or is he the guy that got off to the the horrible first 2 months start? Like, part of why they're in the position that they're in is because of what he did at the beginning of the year. So I think there's a lot to play for. This Garrison Wisenhunt guy, right? Like yesterday, that was a great outing. It's a great step forward for the young man.
Yep.
You know, you're a left-handed prospect for the Giants, wasn't doing well in AAA, gets called up because they needed somebody, and he showed yesterday that, like, hey, maybe there is something there. Maybe he does belong. I think that's extremely important. A young 24-year-old left-handed pitching prospect under team control, that's huge.
Massive. 888-957-9570 is the number. Again, we will touch on the 49ers and what's going on in training camp down there as they start joint practices on Thursday with the Denver Broncos. Your boy Bo Nix coming into town, Joey. Hey, I will say this. You were high on Bo Nix because of his preseason play a little bit. You started to say, you know what? Maybe he's not going to be that bad. And you know what? He ended up being pretty freaking good as a rookie, all things considered, last year, going to the playoffs. And I thought that was the playoff lock of the week last year, was them going into Buffalo. I was like, oh, give me Buffalo. It's not even close. And it was. That was my lock of the year. 888-957-9570. Same number to call or text. And Matt Lively is going to be joining us to talk about said week of practice and starting those joint practices on Thursday. Matt Lively obviously covers all things Bay Area sports for ABC 7 News. Matt Lively, 9 a.m.
With the injury to Wilmer Flores, I didn't get an update.
KPIX, excuse me. KPIX.
I didn't get an update over the weekend, so I'm not really sure exactly where he's at. So if one of you guys behind the glass knows more of an accurate depiction than I do, he was running down the first baseline Friday. He's a guy that should have been moved. And
Flores?
Yeah, and yeah. You look at it right now, Bryce Eldridge is so hot in AAA. Now, you look at some of the advanced metrics, he's not hitting breaking balls as well as he should, and that's obviously below par. But like right now, if I told you you called up Bryce Eldridge in the next 10 days, we would all be in on that.
Why not?
We would all be in on that.
Like, I would like to hear why you don't call him up at this point. Like, seriously, well, there's zero reason.
Because he needs to work on hitting non-fastballs.
I mean, this team needs to work on just hitting fastballs in general. Could, like, just come up here right now. Like, the whole thing when it comes to baseball is just so maddening to me sometimes when it comes to prospects, when it comes to confidence, when it comes to when you call these guys up. Like, oh, but you try to keep them down there because you don't want the at-bats and everything. Like, you know, the whole Vlad Jr. conversation with Toronto, trying to keep him down. All that withstanding. Just bring the guy up the last 2 months. Why not? Or just give him a cup of coffee. Give him a couple series.
You got to have spots for him to play, though. And that's where, like, the Wilmer Flores staying with him, to me, was kind of a frustrating head scratcher for me because, like, I get why you want to get his bat in there every day. We've watched. He's been laboring for a month and a half, Wilmer Flores, and he's not going to play great defense at first base. He's really just a DH. And it feels like you've got about three or four of those guys on the roster. So, it's redundant. I would have moved him. See, to me, like that was the move that I would have made.
This is interesting to me. The Bryce Eldridge coming up. The Devers conversation is going to be one I think that's going to dominate the final 2 months and how he looks heading into the offseason. It's going to be him and Jung-Hoo Lee, and you mentioned it earlier. Like, the fact that Jung-Hoo is finally starting to get going here and he had his first four-hit day in the majors yesterday, that was huge. Him being on the base paths, I think, was the most eye-opening part, and you alluded to that. So Albonte talk about it. Where are you at with Jung-Hoo Lee these final 2 months, Joe? Like, is this a guy that's playing for his future in a orange and black uniform going forward for you? Because they have a lot of money tied to him. He's not a Buster Posey guy. No. I know Devers is here for the long haul, and I know he's proven in the big leagues. And the reason I have not been as critical on Jung-Hoo is because I am viewing this as a redshirt season, a rookie season for him. Now, I know he is a professional player playing in the KBO, but the KBO, quite frankly, means nothing to me. It might as well be AAA, might as well be double.
No one knows.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, no, I don't know how to quantify it. I just don't know. Might as well be Canadian Football League for all I care if I'm comparing it to the NFL. I don't know. But that being said, like, I think this is a huge 2 months for him and his future in San Francisco. I know Devers is saying, I know Adames is saying, I know Matt Chapman's going to be sticking around. Wizenhunt, obviously, but for Jung-Hoo Lee, I think he has the most to prove these final 2 months. And if they do make a push, he's going to have to be a part of it. Like, he's going to be, because if I could head out of this season knowing Jung-Hoo Lee could be a leadoff guy for me, that would be massive.
I would say him not being a good top of the order guy for the majority of the year has been one of the biggest problems on the team.
Right?
And it's not necessarily blaming him. No. It's just more like they have had a false person at the top of their order because Jung-Hoo Lee is not a catalyst.
Yes.
And it's really screwed up their entire lineup.
Absolutely.
And so they need him now. There's something to be said. He plays better in the 7-8-9 role. He just does. So maybe he's just not a traditional top of the order guy. Maybe he's best suited to be bottom of the order. But I think their number one priority is to figure it out on Jung-Hoo Lee so that you know going into the offseason, all right, if Jung-Hoo Lee's not a 1-2 guy at the top of the order, well, then he's a 7-8-9 guy. I have to go out and get that guy. I have to find someone who can be a catalyst to spark us at the top of the order because Ramos, Devers, Chapman, Adames, they're all high strikeout guys. Someone has got to be a put-the-ball-in-play contact speed guy, and you don't really have that element in the bulk of the order at the top.
All right, so you take care of business against the Mets. It was a really nice series win. It was very nice.
It was. That's a good team. The Mets are a good team, and they're obviously all in on the now.
You got to beat the Pirates now, though, dude. Like, you got swept against them. I wasn't here. Again, I wasn't here last week. I'm playing catch-up mode a little bit. You got swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you didn't even face Paul Skeens. And you're not going to face him this time around either.
And Mitch Keller was out after two innings.
Oh, my.
I know.
You have got to take business. And then you got the Nationals after
baseball.
That.
Baseball.
You have got to take care of business because this series win against the Mets, quite frankly, means nothing if you lay some duds against the Pirates and the Nationals of the world. You want me to take you somewhat seriously going forward this next couple months? You got to take care of business this week. Minimum 4 wins for me. You cannot split this series.
The Pirates sold everybody off.
Sold, yes.
I mean, they got rid of a lot. But the Washington's a good team, dude. They got a lot of young talent. You're rolling your eyes. They have a lot of talent.
20 games under.
I know their record isn't good. I'm telling you, they have a ton of talent.
They have talent. You have talent too. All right. And you had expectations, unlike the Washington Nationals, who, again, a team that were in our sellers going forward for the foreseeable future. What else did I miss last week? Oh, Jonathan Kuminga? Is there still a crisis going on there?
Oh, no.
This can't be true, right? That the Kings offered Malik Monk and, what was it, a 2030 pick?
I don't know.
I don't care what. The pick could be 30-22 or whatever.
They offered Malik Monk and we said no? Mike Dunleavy, what? Why? Am I missing something here?
Picks unprotected.
I need a conclusion on this thing one way or the other.
Is there ever going to be a conclusion on this? It's going to be to be continued.
He's going to take the qualifying offer, and then they're going to deal him in February.
There's this show, this anime that's been going on literally for the last like 25 plus years called One Piece out of Japan. And seriously, it's like a Dragon Ball Z type of show, right? They're like 30 minute long, but at the end of each episode, it literally says to be continued. I've been watching this show for 25 years.
Mm.
This is literally the Jonathan Kuminga. It's One Piece to be continued. It's never going to stop ever. He's going to be 50 years old. Well, JK, we still need the guy within our organization. Like just rip the Band-Aid off. It's okay to rip the Band-Aid off one way or the other. Malik Monk is more than I thought you were ever going to get at this point. We're talking about Keon Ellis. Give me Malik Monk. He could score. He could do anything you want. Like, he's not a big body. He's not. He's not going to be great defensively. But God, what did you need in the playoffs, Joe? What did you need? You need scoring.
Well, you needed a stop, too.
Well, sure. But once Steph went down, you couldn't score.
No, I know. But I mean, it'd be nice to get some stops as well. I'm not saying that you couldn't use more scoring.
Yes. That being said,
that's what Buddy's for.
Or just someone who'll get in the game.
So we got that. We got Juwan
Pods.
We got Juwan Jennings.
But we have the plus minus leader on the team, Pods.
So what is going right now in the Bay Area sports landscape? What's going right?
I mean, Brock Purdy's having a hell of a camp.
Is he?
Yeah.
Who's he throwing to?
That's me.
Oh my God. You're going to be down there at joint practices?
Know how to run routes, dude.
Robbie
Chosen.
You know what? There's a guy out there, speaking of the Niners, this is called the Tease People. He's out in Washington, D.C. His name's Scary Terry. And no, I'm not talking about Rozier. Go get this guy.
Oh my God.
That's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. And it was also sponsored by LiveSource Water Systems.
For Dom being back here in New York. Now a drive to left by Schmidt to the wall. Gone, Casey Schmidt. The exclamation point to this one.
You know, we got Rafael Devers, we got Adamas, we got Wilmer Flores, and this is all for our, like, Latino base here for 95.7, but wanted to sign off with this. Soy Adán en el Ciudad y estás escuchando al Morning Rose en 95.7 El Partido. Thanks, guys.
Oh, I love Adam in the city. And Adam, I'm not going to share what producer Carter was saying in my ear, because apparently you guys go way back. He was talking some smack, though. Wants to throw down. What he wants to do. Oh, you're flipping the bird at him now? Okay. I'm feeling great. It's a Monday. We got school going back next week, by the way. It's like the ultimate like taboo movie. Like, you don't do this. Like, you don't come back from a week off like I just had, Joe, and be like, I need like another day off. But Big Boss Man, if you're listening, I do got first day of school next week with the kiddos on Monday. Baby Nora, she's starting preschool for the first time, and it's going to be at the same school as Benny's at, so it's going to be one big drop-off. It's going to be very nice. I'm very excited about that. Baby Nora, so proud of you. She's doing so good, the potty training and everything. She's crushing it. Benny, not excited to go back, as one would imagine, but he's going to crush it too, going from TK to kindergarten. So first week of school starting a week from today for a lot of the kids, the public school kids. So I'm excited about that. I know, Joe, You're dreading that moment when you have to drop off.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to save a lot of money.
See, you're saying that now. Well, yes. The money part. That's going to be the best part.
I'm all in.
No, but you're going to have some tears. There's going to be some tears in the eyes.
Well, yeah, obviously. But I'm also going to be super happy because tears all have some money back in my pocket. You know? God,
can you not be cynical?
No, it's called being realistic. Oh, like, this daycare and the nannying and all that stuff is just expensive.
Brother, you don't have to tell me.
It's expensive.
It's like, I don't even want into it. It's okay. It's all right. But because everyone's dealing with this stuff, it's not exclusive to us. But
no, we all have it.
Just for a couple months, you're talking about like north of like $3,200, man. Just for a couple months. Oh, so yes, I'm going to be very happy about that starting a week from today. But in the meantime, a lot happened this past week that I didn't have a chance to react to. Juwan Jennings getting hurt. And we'll get back into the Giants because there is something we want to discuss in regards to this Giants team and something that could get me excited as a Giants fan these last 2 months. If I don't think we're going to make the playoffs, this could have my attention. Could be one Bryce Eldridge getting called up. But Juwan Jennings, did he play himself real quick, Joe?
What do you mean?
I mean, the guy wanted to get paid, and all of a sudden the calf injury pops back up that he was dealing with the OTAs, and now he's on the shelf, and now the number one wide receiver is a guy in Ricky Pearsall who's not even doing like one-on-one drills because they're trying to protect him. I'm concerned. I told you about this wide receiver core. I was concerned, Joe, and you said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. They'll figure it out. Okay.
I'm way more concerned about their secondary than I am their wide receivers.
You're
I'm
one.
Just telling you, like, I just am way more worried about their secondary on defense than I am about wide receivers.
Will you ever be worried about the wide receiver core?
What's that?
Will you ever be worried about this wide receiver core?
If Kyle Shanahan is the coach, I'm not as worried. Like, I'm just not. Like, they will find ways to make plays. That's why I'm paying him $20 million a year, and that's why I pay my quarterback $250 million. I actually think he'll be fine. Yes, they're going to have times where they're going to need the guys to break open on one-on-one coverage, and we'll see. But if they're able to run the ball and they're able to run play action, I just don't worry as much as others.
We'll get more into that with Matt Lively at 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. Matt Lively, KPIX. He's going to be down, and he has been down at 49ers training camp in Santa Clara. And by the way, joint practices starting with Denver Thursday, preseason game number one Saturday. Cannot wait for that, Joe. And we're going to be talking about it all right here on 95.7 The Game. We call it what? The road to Levi's? Yeah, the long road to Levi's, because it is the Super Bowl this year. We got Super Bowl. We got World Cup coming up. We got, hopefully, Giants baseball in a couple of years coming back here, the Oracle Park. We got another All-Star game, hopefully. So the Bay is the place to be. We just had the NBA All-Star game, and I would like for the 49ers to be a part of it come February. That would be amazing. In the meantime, you know what else would be amazing right now? Let's see Bryce Eldridge. Why not? Let's see the young phenom. Call him up. Call him up. What do you got to lose? Him, and also, I kind of want to see Marco Luciano. I wouldn't mind seeing Marco Luciano. I know the bat hasn't been great in AAA. But quite frankly, I don't care. Call him up here. Let's see what the kid's got. What have you got to lose at this point when it comes to Luciano, when it comes to Eldridge? More so Luciano, I think. Just bring him up. Get him a cup of coffee up here. Try him again at multiple positions. I don't know. Like, I know they thought, like, what was it, shortstop? They thought, like, you can't do anything. Second base, he was booting the ball around. I felt like we ripped the Band-Aid off too quick when it came to him and said he's a bust. Let's bring him back up, try to get his confidence going, see what we got with Luciano. Why not?
I mean, as one of the top 15 prospects in baseball, he is a bust. Like, if we're being real, like, he doesn't have a position, Joe.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, you know, that's kind of a problem.
Right now, yeah, we'll see.
He doesn't have a position.
Well, stick him in right. Right. Like, who do you got out there that you really like? Come on.
I'm just, well, right now, Grant McCray is playing, and he's actually not bad. He had multiple hits on Saturday.
Solid.
All right. So, like, yeah, if you don't have a position, and unless you are Manny Ramirez or David Ortiz or whatever, like, yeah, you're not going to live up to your billing. He was the number one prospect for multiple years in their farm, and he's not that guy. He's just not. That doesn't mean his career's over. That doesn't mean he can't be good. But in terms of living up to what he was, yeah, he's probably going to end up being a bust.
God, like, he's still so young. He's 23. As we're still talking about Trey Lance being younger than some rookies that are starting this year in the NFL. Luciano's still only 23, going on 24, albeit. But, man, like, we're already labeling him a bust?
Well,
quickly?
Part of his value, like, if we're going to play this out and, like, explain why Luciano's where he's at, part of his value is he's a shortstop, right? And so the power numbers at shortstop, what he was bringing, that they thought that was an outlier in terms of the power production you were going to get. And if you're going to play the shortstop position, there's a value that we heavily place on that defensively for good reason, right? That's why so many shortstops have been overpaid in free agency. Just go around and look at baseball the last 4, 5, 6 years, whether it's, you know, extensions for a Francisco Lindor, whether it's the Carlos Correa, Seager, like all these shortstops. It is the number one defensive position outside of maybe catcher in the entire game. And if you're giving premium production power-wise, offensively, we're going to overvalue that. That's why Bobby Witt Jr. is so tantalizing as a prospect. Gunnar Henderson, right? These guys are so tantalizing. That's why Volpe, you know, Yankee fans lost their minds last year because he won a gold glove and, hey, he hit like 20 home runs and we're feeling good. And that's why they're so down on him right now.
Oh my
God. If Luciano's not playing shortstop and he's in the outfield, we look at the outfield production numbers very differently than we look at shortstop, right? To be a 20 home run guy at shortstop, you would be a $180 million player like Willy Adames. That's why he's a $180 million player. But if you do that in right field, you know, you're one of how many guys, right? So that's why I think that the shine's off. Now, I'm ready to see him. Regarding Eldridge, that's the more tantalizing one.
Of course.
Eldridge has got 3 home runs in his last 2 games or whatever. He's got basically 8 RBIs and 3. He's been tearing the cover off the ball, going the other way. I don't know when the right time is. I want to get a look at him. I'm selfish. I want to see him. I did the same thing with Barr. Did the same thing with Luciano. Do the same thing with Casey Schmidt. I want to see these guys on the big league level because selfishly, I want to watch them. I do understand why they don't want to flip that card over just yet. Sounds like he's not ready defensively. I don't know. How long is Wilmer out? If Wilmer's out multiple weeks, I think it's a natural thing. Just call him up. But you also don't want him to sit on your bench.
We'll pick this up on the other side. Is now the right time to call up Bryce Eldridge for the San Francisco Giants? 888-957-9570. You could call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. In the meantime, it's time for the Golden State Valkyries Strongest Player of the Game, brought to you by El Camino Health. Ooh, love the flight of the Valkyries. Our strength, your health. All right. It's been tough a little bit lately. I mean, when you lose your all-star Kayla Thornton, it's going to be tough the rest of the way. And by the way, I was at Ball Hall of Joe just a couple weeks ago. Their last home game against the Dallas Wings coming out of the all-star break. That place, hey, Risotto was on it. You've been on it. Everyone's been on it. There is a different level of energy. It's just different than Warriors games. I don't know how else to describe it. But the atmosphere was incredible, and they did win that one. But they lost yesterday 101-77 to the Las Vegas Aces. They didn't have a bright spot, though, courtesy of Ileana Rupaire. Notched a career-high 17 points last night, including this right-wing corner three in the fourth quarter.
Bounces it to Amir, over to Rupaire, launching a right-wing three and splashes that one down. Ileana Rupaire with 17 points, a new career-high, 3 of 8 from beyond the arc for Ileana Rupaire.
And that was Kevin Dana right here on 95.7 The Game, your home for Golden State Warriors and Valkyries game. And again, you can find it all on the free Odyssey app, and you can find it on that Valkyries tab. And that was the strongest player in the game, brought to you by El Camino Health. Our strength, your health. All right.
I want to get back into the Eldridge because I think there's a lot of misinformation regarding manipulation of playing time and all that. And I want to set the record straight because I see people texting in and whatnot. I will explain the whole Eldridge dynamic. We'll get into it.
And that's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.